Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just close our eyes. Worship the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, today that the yoke will be broke because of the anointing. Thank you for speaking exactly what everyone needs to hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for everything you're going to do, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your word going forth. It will not return void. It will accomplish everything it's sent to. And Father, it will prosper in the thing wherein to it's sent. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for victory today. We just thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, for the greater one on the inside. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and washed us from all sin and all evil and all of the things of this world and all guilt and all condemnation and all failure. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Thank you, Lord, it speaks redemption. It speaks mercy. Thank you, Lord, for mercy, Lord. We thank you that you're good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power that's in the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, you can be seated. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Kids, it's right after Genesis chapter 17. Hallelujah. Don't write that down. Kids are taking notes today, learning great things. You thought school was over, didn't you? Wrong. We just keep right on going. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're living in a great time today. Really a great generation. You know, it seems like they put a name to every generation. I don't even know what the last one was. It's some kind of Generation X and this generation and generation whatever. You know, the world's trying to define this generation and wants it to be a certain way. But you know what? I believe that this is the generation that the children and the youth are going to really rise up and obey the Holy Ghost and be on fire for God and demonstrate the power of God to the world. Amen. I'm not sure what they're going to call that one. They may struggle to come up with a name for that. But you know, this is a generation to where God wants to move mightily. And one thing, there's many different ways we can go, but one thing I want to share today is how God actually uses children and young people. See, he used Mike this morning. He's thinking about it. No, that hand's going up. That's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Genesis chapter 18, let's look at Abraham. And it says in verse 17, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Why did God choose Abraham out of all the peoples of the world? They were all heathens. None of them were serving God, really. But God chose Abraham to call a people unto himself. Well, why was Abraham picked? Abraham was picked because he would train his children and in his household after him. Basically, he was going to bring the next generation in, and then the next generation and the next generation, and have that continual going from generation to generation to generation of the knowledge of God, of the things of God, so then ultimately God could bring to pass what he's spoken. You know what? You need to enter into the fullness of what God has for you. You need to go as far as you can, but as much as that, as important as that in, is, you know what you need to do? You need to make sure that this next generation is prepared to even go further than us. Y'all looking at me real funny. Hey, I'm just reading right out of the Bible. But do you know that God said he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What does that mean? Continuing on. Taking what you have, giving it to the next generation. That's why in our church here, in our church before, one of the main emphasis we put was on the children's ministry. Why? Because we want these guys to take what we have and start there. What if you knew what you knew today, what if you were around this kind of teaching from the first day you went to church, right on up through, you heard about the signs, wonders, miracles, you were taught the word, you knew the Holy Ghost, how different would your life be today? Well, some of us, you know, we had a real rough run and then finally came in, and thank God we're here and God's moving and God's restored us and God's bringing us into great things. But there's a lot of things we went through that we really didn't have to, or we shouldn't have had happen. Well, just think if we can bring a generation up in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, around, touched by this move of God, and that's the future leadership of the church. And that's the future leadership in this natural world, in our earth today. What if that's all you ever knew was these things? Well, praise God. Abraham trained his children and his household after him. And we know that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there is something about taking this and bring it to the next generation. I know that Lester Sumrall says success without a successor really isn't success. And see, we've seen a lot of moves of God come on the earth. A lot of great moves of God come, but it really didn't carry on to the next generation. It was kind of born in one generation, got to a certain place in that generation, and the fullness of it really ended there. It really didn't carry over to the next. You know, in this time, we not only need to obtain the blessing and the promises of God, but we need to make sure that our children are right there to where they can carry it further than us.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Sometimes you got to pull them out. It's kind of like teeth. Sometimes you got to pull them. Sometimes you got to fill them. You always got to clean them. Hallelujah. Only, like we tell our kids, only clean and brush the teeth that you plan on keeping. Hallelujah. Praise God. I bet you never seen that in Genesis 18, have you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 8. Well, we want to see a move of God come. I know there's a book out, and I've read it. It's really good. It's called The Children of Azusa Street. And that move of God that came in Azusa Street, you know what? The kids were sitting right there. They partook of all of it. And a lot of them from that went and had great ministries. You know, they say that the fog, the real glory of God came in like a fog. The presence of God settled in. And in the back, it was like a mist. You could hardly see. And the kids would play hide and go seek in that mist. Hallelujah. That's what they grew up in. That's what they were touched. That's the first concept they had of God. That's what they knew. They grew up in that place. I'm telling you, we need to be in a place where the word's being preached and the Holy Ghost is in demonstration so that our kids can get a hold of it. And I know Pastor Mitch talks about it quite a lot, and his heart's really in to seeing these kids not only get the blessing we have, but taking it further. Well, Isaiah 8:18. It says, "Behold, I and the children for whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion." You know what? Our kids are for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we know that God is moving. Signs and wonders, miracles. And God wants to bless us and take this move to the next generation. And He wants us to train this generation. I'll just say this. When Jesus came and picked His disciples, they say John was possibly about 14 years old, and Peter was probably in his early 20s. The rest of them were in their teens, probably about 16, 17, 18. Jesus, He put the entire future of the world and the church in the hands of teenagers. Tell me He's not a faith God. Should have said amen, Emily. That was your shining moment, your chance right there. He put the future of the world in the hands of teenagers. Why? Because when the youth got touched, they had such a fire. They left everything. They had such a zeal. Every revival, every move of God that's ever come on the earth has come through young people. And we need to get these young people on fire. The young people, you need to realize that you're not in church just to sit here. See, you're not just waiting, going through Sunday school, going through children's church, going through youth, till one day you can become an adult and really get involved in the church. You know what? You are the church. Someone says that the children are the church of tomorrow. No, they're the church of today. It's not no tomorrow stuff. They're the church of right now. And God can use them everywhere they go. They can pray. They can believe God. And really, you know, Jesus said, you need to humble yourself and become like a child to even enter into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say humble yourself and be childish, though. There is a difference. To have that same attitude as a child. Now, don't laugh during my services now. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. There's so many different directions I could go today. I'm just going to kind of get out in the water and see which way we go. But I do know this. I do know that what God has spoken about our time, our generation, that there needs to be a real move of God. And really, it's just not going to be the adults or one group of people only. It's going to be the young, the old. It's going to be everyone entering in. And we need to make sure that right alongside of us are our children and our youth. Praise God. Well, God is faithful. I remember hearing about the story of Oral Roberts when, you know, his mother, I don't know how many, you know, kids she had, but she wanted another child. And she wanted to dedicate him to the Lord. She told the Lord what she wanted him to look like. Now, he was a native parents were Native American. His mother, for sure. And she wanted a boy, and she wanted him this and wanted him that. And she says, I want him to have blue eyes. He says, how many do you, dark hair, just black, pitch black, dark hair, and blue eyes. She would describe what he wanted to be like. And when this child was to come, do you know what? She dedicated that child to God. Says, God, you give me a child, I'm going to give him to you and let you use him. I'm going to give him to you. Well, we know the story of Oral Roberts, how he came forth, how he, in his teenage years, he had tuberculosis, and God healed him of that. And we know that God called him to preach, and really, he's probably one of the greatest ministers we've seen, you know, since the early days of the church. And a lot of things that we have today, God is a good God. The concept of seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. God's a good God. The devil's a bad devil. You know, the Bible's real simple. Actually, like someone said, the Bible's so simple, you got to have help to misunderstand it. The only problem is a lot of people have a lot of help. That's the sad part. But as I read this, there's been many times that people have cried out for children from the Lord and given those children to God. And I want to show you what example of what happened with this one child that was dedicated to the Lord. I know with both of our kids, and I'm sure with y'all, from the time we knew they were coming to the time those two little lions showed up and we were mortified. Our whole life passed before our eyes. You know, you cannot be serious. We found out Caleb was coming in Brussels, and actually at Pastor John Rood's house. So, hallelujah. But we dedicated to the Lord, and we gave him to God to use in this last generation. Let me just think about this. Why is there such an emphasis, you know, emphasis today on abortion, on all these different things that are going on? Because the devil knows that this generation is going to be the one to usher in the glory, to usher in Jesus. How many apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers never even saw, never even had a chance to even start? Well, I know the story of Dr. Dufresne, Ed Dufresne. You may not know him. It's a great minister of God. And basically, his mother and father, they weren't married at the time. She got pregnant, and they lived in California. They were headed down to Tijuana, Mexico, to have an abortion. And all of a sudden, they got there, and his dad, his dad stopped and says, you know, we can't do this. We got to go back. We got to have the child. He was Catholic. They grew up in the Catholic Church. He just something on the inside said, you know, this is just not right. Later in a vision, he saw an angel come and tap him. And all of a sudden he says, no, I can't do that. And God spared his life. Well, today he's an apostle. He's a prophet of God. He's been in ministry 45 years. God's done great things. But yet, you know what? The devil tries to destroy what's coming. What happened when Moses was coming? You remember that time when Moses was coming? Pharaoh wanted all the firstborn of the children of Israel killed. Because he knew, somehow, the devil knew that a seed was going to rise up, a deliverer was going to come and deliver Israel, so he tried to stop that. What happened when Herod heard about Jesus? All the babies, 2 years and under, all the boys, they were all killed. Why? Because the devil is trying to stop the move of God that's coming on the earth. He doesn't want to see it coming, so he tries. He knows he can't ultimately stop it, so what he wants to do is try to abort it. He tries to take out the leadership. He tries to get the kids before they even get started. So we see that the devil is afraid. We look at our generation all over the world. Well, I believe these things are prevalent because the devil knows that this group of kids and this group of young people is going to be the ones that's going to really bring us into glory. So he's trying to do everything he can to stop it. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 1, it's page 360. No, it's not. It's 361. I'm sorry. It says this in chapter 1. Basically, Hannah wanted a child, couldn't have a child. And let's look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial for our abundance, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy position that thou thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And then they went on, and basically, verse 20, and it came to pass about the time was, I'll just read that in English. Sorry. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And she gave the sacrifice, and she was thankful. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now she came and gave this child to Samuel in the temple. Verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There were no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now remember, Samuel is just a very young boy here. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered and said, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called unto Samuel the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. For Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I'll perform against Eli the things which I have spoken concerning his house when I began. I will also make an end. For I told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore have I sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. How'd you like to get that word? Not the one we're looking for. But think about it. Two thoughts. Here's Samuel, a young child, and God is speaking to him. But you know what? God is speaking to him, and the word of the Lord's coming to him, but he doesn't know how to hear it, and he doesn't know how to receive it. One of the things, and I know Pastor Mitch has talked about it. We talked about it last week. This week, with all this finals, I don't know. Sometime. Real soon. Not real long ago. What he really wants to do with our children is teach them how to hear from the Holy Ghost and flow in the things of God just like we do. To be a part. Why? So when the word of the Lord comes, they'll be able to perceive it. So what good is it if a word of the Lord comes to us or our children and we can't understand it? It doesn't make any sense. God can be speaking, God can be speaking, God can be speaking, but we can't hear it. Well, with our children, we want them to be able, when God speaks, and now we have the Holy Ghost. A lot of these kids are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. But see, they're children, and God can speak to them, and God can use them. And because they're a child doesn't mean that the word of the Lord's not going to come to them. And it doesn't mean that they can't hear it. Well, why did God speak to them? Because God had a message. Can you imagine? Just think about it. God gave a word to a child concerning the nation of Israel and his future and the house of Eli, who was the priest, the high priest. God gave a word. God told what was going to happen and spoke in prophecy to a child that was in the temple being raised by a priest. He didn't give it to a 60, 70-year-old prophet, someone who had been in the ministry 40, 50 years. Who did this word come to? This word came to a child. You know, when you look at a lot of the great ministers today, and God came to them as children and spoke to them. He may have came to you as a child and spoke to you and ministered you. Some kids, I remember Brother Hagin saying that when he was 2 years old and just learned how to talk, he walked around and started saying, "I preacher, I preacher." He walked around, just didn't know anything, knee high to a grasshopper. What's his first words? "I preacher, I preacher." You know what? It's just in you. Just like I told someone, you know, if you're a dog, you got to bark. You're a cat, you got to meow. You're a bird, you got to fly. You're a fish, you got to swim. Whatever you are, that's just what you are. That's what's got to come out. And see, God is calling us, but he's calling our children with us in these last days. And God is going to anoint them and bring them forth into things and into ministries that are going to change the entire world. Even our children coming is not an accident. I've always known, even with my kids, I told God, I give them back to God. I'll raise them, but they don't belong to me. But they will obey. Grace. That is a for sure. We know that don't happen. But see, God's just given me the responsibility and the commission to raise up his children so that they can fulfill his will. How many of you want your kids to be successful? That's about half of you. Let's form a line right over here. The other half going right down this hallway. We're going to lay hands on you. We all want our kids to be successful. What does success mean? It means finding the perfect will of God for your life and fulfilling it. It doesn't mean just making a lot of money. It doesn't mean just getting a big position. It doesn't mean having a big title. Our job is to help train our kids in the Holy Ghost and in the things of God and get them so grounded in the Word so that they're strong, they can hear from God, they can be used by God, that they're like weapons in the hands of a mighty man. And so that they can grow up, be leaders, find out what the will of God is, hear God's voice, and do what God told them to do. And that's what success is. Brother Hagin says, it's more important that our young people know the voice of the Holy Ghost and know how to be led by the Spirit than it is to have a college education. Now, we're all for college educations. Relax, Luke. Take a chill. We're all for it. We're all for the highest level of college education. The morer, the merrier. However that goes. Hip, hip, hooray. We're all for it. But you know what? If you don't know how to hear from God, if just like Samuel here, if you can't hear God's voice and understand what God is saying, what good is it? So there's a real balance to it. And I believe our kids are the best of the best. But here, basically, Eli taught Samuel what to do to hear God's voice. And when he did it, God spoke to him about the entire nation and the future of the nation. So our kids can hear from God. Well, let's look back at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. You know, I'm not sure that's the legacy he wanted. Your children are the children of the devil. And you know what? It ended up costing him everything. He was a priest. He stood in the house of God. He ministered to the Lord constantly, but he didn't know how to train his kids. Why'd God choose Abraham? Because he knew Abraham would raise up his kids after him. And see, you guys that are coming behind us, this next generation, hey, we've in a sense already blazed the trail. We've gone before, and there's advantages you have because we obeyed God. Remember Brother Hagin talking about one time his son, you know, Pastor Hagin now, was in Korea, and he was over there. And he was on this mountain, and they were riding motorbikes, and he went around this mountain road on this off of this cliff, and it shows where the tire marks went off of the road over the cliff, and further down they came back on. Which usually, if your tire tracks are going out from the mountain, there's usually not ones coming back. It's usually just a one-way run. And he came back, and Brother Hagin heard about it, and the Lord spoke to him. He says, if you would have not obeyed me in leaving your family and going to preach and going on the road and obeying you to do what I told you to do concerning the prophet's ministry and concerning traveling and going out, if you wouldn't have made that sacrifice and obeyed me, he'd have come back in a box. I'm telling you, there's a part about obedience for us. That God is going to raise up our children to bring them into the fullness of what God's called us to. But really, we have responsibility too to walk in the things of God, to obey God, and to make sure that we do what God tells us to do. Well, that's our example that we raise up, and God raises us up, and we obey God, and these kids are trained, and they're brought forth, and you know what? They're going to go forth, and they're going to take what we have and even go further. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Samuel, God spoke to Samuel. Do you know that Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in Israel? Who anointed King David? Samuel did. Who chose Saul? I mean, who talked about Saul and ministered to him? Well, it was Samuel. See, you just never know how God's going to use any of us or our kids or what the call is. The main thing we need to do is make sure they're always in an environment to where they're fed and they can be taught. And I know as the year progresses and as we go forth, more and more the children will be with us, I'm sure. But more and more, wherever they're at, if you're ministering to the children, hey, it's just not, okay, I kind of got stuck doing the babysitting thing on Sunday morning with these kids. You never know. The little boy, the little girl that you're ministering to could be a prophet of God one day and impact nations. How do you know? You never know what you're imparting to these guys. You never know what they're hearing from you. You never know what they're getting. That's why with our kids this summer, we're going to go see Dr. Dufresne. We try to get them in meetings where the Spirit of God's moving, especially people that are in a strong anointing. And we'll go to the meetings. I remember we went to a meeting up in Greentown that there was signs and wonders and God was doing great miracles and Caleb was on the front row and he was sitting there watching all these. I mean, have you ever seen a miracle to where you just knew it was an instant miracle? You're sitting there thinking, wow, that's a miracle. I just saw it. And you know what? He saw that. I'm not sure if Grace was in there or not. But I remember the next day, because it was late coming back, I took him to school, and the whole time coming there, he was talking about those miracles. Well, see, we need to get our kids around and get them exposed to these things of the Holy Ghost. Says, well, it's important that I take my kid to church. Well, it is, but if you're not being taught anything, what are you doing for them? If they're in a dead church, not being taught, they don't believe in the Holy Ghost, the move of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the demonstration, the outpouring of God. Well, what are you teaching them? They're not getting this. They've got to be into a place to where they can hear the Spirit of God. They can know His voice. And that anointing and that power will come on them, and God will use them, and God will raise them up and send them out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. The kids, our kids are for signs and wonders. And see, we're raising these guys up, and God's imparting things to them. But see, it's important that they be around it and taste it and see it. And if they're exposed to it, and that they're able to hear and see the Spirit of God in demonstration, that they get touched by that anointing. And I think that's as important. It is as important in this church as anything else we do. And when I'm talking about kids, I'm just not talking about Tadpo. Hey, Tadpo. She don't like Tadpo, I don't think. Hey, I'm from the South, though. I would say, don't worry, Tadpo. You'll grow up and be a frog one day. You'll lose those legs and tail and grow right on up. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're talking about the young people, the teens, the college age, this group. The generation that's in leadership today, back in the late 70s, there was a move of God, a wave that came through this country and really around the world and brought a whole generation in, and they're the generation that's in leadership today. But God came and visited a whole generation. There's generations. You know, God visits generations. And God wants to, you know, if you're here and if God's called you, I'll just say this. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You know what that means? God's never going to change His mind. I'll save you a lot of agony. Don't try to change God's mind concerning what He's called you to do, because He's not. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. These things are determined before the foundation of the earth. The only way you'll ever have peace is to yield to it. And see, we got to teach our kids how to not only hear the voice of God, not only know the Word. What if your kids, what if you knew the Word like you know today, back when you were a child? What advantage? You realize the devil was defeated. Who you are in Christ, the authority of the believer, how to stand, how to pray, about faith, about the Holy Ghost, about being led by the Spirit of God. If we teach our kids how to be led by the Spirit of God, they'll always be in God's perfect will. They'll know in every situation how the Spirit of God's leading them. They'll know who to marry and who not to marry. They'll know where to go. They'll know if something's wrong, something's not right in my spirit, I'm not doing it. You'll give them something that the best education from man's standpoint can't give them. We're into this deal now with Caleb. He just was in sixth grade. Actually, sixth grade was the best 3 years of my brother Mike's life. Did you know that? Just a thought. But look how wonderful he turned out. Now, come on. More enthusiasm than that. But, so we're now into this, middle school. We're rolling through middle school, getting close to high school, and, tests and GPAs and all the, grant money and all the, scholarship things and everything that comes. And so we're all starting to get into this world. There's a boy that's on Caleb's soccer team, and his brother just graduated as a senior with a 4.2 something average from Ron Colley, and his dad was talking about how he got over $400,000 worth of scholarship offers. He's going to Butler full ride scholarship. There's a friend we know, my one friend, he knows this one guy that played football up in Zionsville, that he scored so high on his pre-SAT test that he got 10 full-ride scholarship offers, and he's going to Alabama 4 years full-ride off of one test, one Saturday. It's about $120,000 Saturday. It's not a bad Saturday, is it? It's not bad at all. And you know what? You could be all everything, Mr. Everything, Mrs. Everything, go to all these schools, graduate the very top. But if you don't know how to hear God's voice, you're not going to be successful in life. You're going to make decisions and you're going to learn things. Are these things important? Wait till we get about $100,000 worth of scholarships and ask me how important it is. If you can catch me, because I'll be running around laps, praising God. If you can catch me and slow me down long enough, I'll tell you how important it is. It's wonderful. Praise God. But you know what? The most important thing in this generation is that we are able to bring ourselves and our children in a place to where God can fulfill and do what he wants to do with this generation. Why did God choose Abraham? Because he would train his household so that he could bring to pass everything that he said. So we want to get ourselves in the position where we can train our kids and our young people so that they can fulfill every prophecy. Have you read all the prophecies about this generation? We talk about continually with Brother Hagin and all the different ones. Smith Wigglesworth. Let's just summarize all of them. All the things that are coming forth today. Well, these are prophecies that God wants to bring to pass. But he's got to have a group that he can use to bring it to pass. And there's got to be a generation that knows his voice, knows his word, that's full of the word, led by the Spirit. There's going to be the main church that God's going to raise up in these last days. There's going to be word and spirit churches. Full of the word, led by the Holy Ghost. Demonstration and power. That's much more important than winning $600,000 worth of scholarships. But if you got them, use them. Be a leader there. You know all these colleges, Yale, Harvard, they were all Bible schools when they started. Lord, Lord, how things have changed from the day. A lot of these major universities in the in the Northeast that we say the Ivy League schools, they're all Bible schools. And they're all just one generation away from being connected with the major move of God. And a lot of them, there was a major move of God that even raised them up. You know, it's just time that we take back our generation. It's just that, you know, the devil's been sitting on it long enough. Out, go. It's time to kick him out. But our kids are going to be different. Joshua chapter 1. See, God's bringing us into something. And God's bringing our young people into something. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. How could he be the son of Nun? Not any. Luke, you're in college. Tell me, explain that to me. He's the son of Nun. Nun. How can that be? Moses' minister saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. What's he saying? Moses obeyed God. Moses was raised up. Now it's time for the next generation to bring it into the fulfillment of it and to take the promised land. Moses came up short. Moses got mad. Thank God we don't get mad. Moses hit that rock twice because he was mad, and that rock was Christ. You can't hit that rock twice. He could see it, but he didn't get to enter into it. But you know what? Joshua was with Moses all that time. And when Moses went off the scene, then it was time for him to come right in. You can throw it further than that, Grace. Didn't even go a foot. That's just our joke. Let me drop something. You know, you have Joshua, and actually you have Caleb from this generation. You had some that didn't compromise, didn't fall away, didn't turn away, stayed faithful to God. And when the time come, I mean, Joshua and Caleb had for 40 years had to march around in the wilderness, even though they were the two that wanted to go into the land. They're the two that believed. They had to stay with an unbelieving generation for 40 years until they all died out. But when it was their hour, their time, they were ready and they entered in. See, just because it's been dark and just because the world's been the way it has, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a generation prepared that he's going to bring forth. It's here today, and they're not compromising. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow their knee. Everybody else, they heard that music, boom, hit the ground, and there they stood. They refused to compromise. If you don't bow, you won't burn. They threw them into a furnace that was so hot that the mightiest soldiers in that kingdom grabbed them and threw them into that fire, and they were killed because of the heat of it. And they were in there just resting. The king looked over in there and says, is that y'all? He says, come on out. You know what I'd have said? I says, you know, I'm just real comfortable. Why don't you come on in? I'm just relaxed, comfortable. Come on in. Do you know what? God brought them forth. And there was, from this vast kingdom, the leadership of the entire kingdom was at this event. They wouldn't compromise. They wouldn't bow. And you know what? That whole situation came, and it was a witness to the entire kingdom that they made a law that if anybody said anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'd be cut into pieces and their house would be made a dunghill. We're not going to get over into a lot of descriptive narrative about what that is, but as they say in the South, that ain't good. You think your house is a mess. You think, huh? But you know what? It was a witness. Same thing happened with Daniel. Daniel stood at the top of three different kingdoms because he had an excellent spirit. He had a different spirit. You know, our kids have different spirit about them. Our kids are the best. It's going to take us half of a service just to read all the accomplishments. But you know, our kids are different. And God's going to raise them up. But you know, God will put you with someone to prepare you for the time and for your time and for your hour. I know that Elijah went and found Elisha. You see, he obtained a certain place in God, but he had to impart it to the next group to continue and to follow on. It wouldn't do us any good to reach the highest level spiritually if we can't bring the kids and the young people and everybody else along with us so that they can carry that on. Just us achieving some great thing is not enough. We've got to continually train these young people. Well, do you know how old David was when he was when he was anointed king of Israel? He was 17 years old. You know how old Joseph was when he had his dream and they threw him in that pit? He was 17 years old. 13 years were real rough. Here's something you got to know, young people, kids. If you're anointed, a lot of trouble's coming your way. I was going to have Sherry get up and make that announcement. Just kind of deflect a little off of me. So or so is the word. The devil comes immediately to steal the word. How many times did the devil try to kill Jesus? It's not written, but tons. Brother Hagin talked about all the things in his life. And one time Jesus appeared to him and told him, the devil has continually sought your life, but my angel has been there with you to protect you. And see, we got to realize our kids are protected. We pray over our kids and plead the blood of Jesus over our kids all the time. But if you're anointed, if you're called, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be just a fun time all the time. You have to learn how to fight. And see, we got to know the weapons of our warfare. They're not natural, but they're carnal, but they're spiritual. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to teach our kids how to be strong. How to know God, because there's no way that you're going to go out and change this world and not be under attack and not have things to overcome. And a lot of times, you'll have to overcome more than anybody else. Why? Because we live in a spiritual world. There's the spirits of darkness, which is the devil and all the demon powers, and the spirits in the kingdom of light, which is God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the angels. And they're in constant conflict. And we got to realize that God wants to bring something into the earth, but every time he tries to bring something into the earth, the devil challenges it. He tries to mess it up. That's why he'll try to throw things at us and our kids. So we've got to be like the watchman on the wall, watchful of that. Knowing our kids are special, they're going to do great things. So we're watching over them. We're praying over them. We're keeping watch over them. You know, I watch who my kids hang around. And it's not that I'm mean. Well, let's rephrase that. It's, you know, I know where they're going. I know what they're going to be. I know the power of influence. And I want to make sure they get around the right influences. And if something's not the right influence, I don't have any problem saying, you know, that's just a bad influence. You're not going to be around it. Because it's not that I'm not concerned about people's feelings, but I know that our kids have a special place in God in this last generation, and I want to protect them. That's why they got parents. You almost have little things in front of you that you're watching. Say amen. Do something. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got to watch these guys. We got to train them. Abraham, what did he do? He trained his children. I watch after these guys. We watch after the, you know, your young people from babies on up. We watch. We make decisions. We look over. We know. But see, we're a part of training you to so that when your hour comes, you can stand in that place and you can develop and you can go forth. Well, don't think that it's just going to be the easiest thing you've ever done in your life. There's going to be opposition. I think people somehow, you know, they'll get a special touch from God. They'll get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And whereas they're, you know, then things will happen and they'll say, wow, I didn't have near as much problem. When I was just living like a heathen, I didn't have near as the trials as I had now. Well, you have opposition now. So we've got to train our kids how to hear from God, stand boldly, take authority over the enemy, demonstrate the power of God, minister to people, be in any situation and not be overwhelmed, but be strong and rise up and stand there and do mighty exploits. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll start with verse 4. I'll read a couple more scriptures. God wants to do great things, and he wants to use this generation to touch this generation. That's one of the greatest things that we can do, is take the faith and the experience and the wisdom and the anointing that we have and impart it to our young people so that they can take it and go further. What if they get to it's like a relay race. You have a guy that takes the baton and runs and runs and runs, hands it to the next guy. And run and run and run, hand it to the next guy. Run and run and run. Hopefully they'll stay in those lanes, not like the U.S. team that always gets disqualified for running outside the line or going beyond a certain mark, and hand it to the next guy, and then he hands it to the last guy, and the last guy takes it home. Well, see, we don't want this generation to have to back up two or three steps and try to find that baton and pick it up and run with it. We want to be running at full speed and hand it to them and let them take off and just run across the finish line. Praise God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? After all that being filled with the Holy Ghost and the promise and everything, they're like, great. But are you going to set your kingdom up now? Because I'm going to sit on the right hand and right here and this one, this one. They're all thinking about this kingdom. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, which is somewhere near Louisiana. I've seen signs. I know it's there. Never mind. Sure felt like the end of the earth to me. Whew, real close. So they're thinking, yeah, you're going to set your kingdom up and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And Jesus saying, listen, I want you to know about this promise that I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And they're like, great. But when are you going to set up the kingdom? He says, listen, that's all in God's hands, but the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you're going to be witnesses. And really, it says you're going to give supernatural demonstration to the fact that Jesus is alive. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. The power of God came. Let's look at the prophecy of Joel in verse 16, Acts 2:16, and we'll close with this. Hey, listen, you're not going to be able to watch that race anyway. It's on time delay, so you might as well relax. 500? You know, I've won tickets to that thing two out of the last 4 years. And hadn't gone yet. I won tickets Friday. They called up and said, you won tickets to the thing? I said, great. Did you come pick him up? I said, I'll do it. Hallelujah. What's that to do with Acts chapter 2? I'm not quite sure. Sure something. Acts 2:16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'll read this and I'll go back. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Holler, Mike, holler. There you go. And your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you also know. And God talks about Jesus. But let's go back to verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was outpoured, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, he says that was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. But this is that. What is this is that? This Holy Ghost, this tongues, these signs and wonders, this everything you see, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God. You know, if you don't believe that we're in the last days, you're about 2,000 years behind or so, give or take a few years. I just thought I'd let you know. Well, if it's the last days back then, just think of the days we live in today. These are the last of the last days. It says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's all flesh. Who has flesh here today? Who's living? Never mind. Put that hand down. You've got flesh. Well, it says God's going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Speak by inspired utterance. That's what simple prophecy is speaking by inspired utterance. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's just speaking under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It says your daughters, sons and daughters will prophesy. Then your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And all my servants and handmaids I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they'll prophesy. That's us. That's our children. Our children are supposed to be having this happening right now. Well, I think when they get big and they get older and they get real experience, well, where's that scripture at? Where's any scripture that says you got to get older, bigger, and wait till one glorious day? Hey, once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, see, once you receive the Holy Ghost, I don't care if you're 2 years old or 102. You know what? You've got the Holy Ghost. And listen, I won't get over into names on this, but when you go to a place like McDonald's or these places, they have like an adult menu. Don't give it up, Sherry. Don't give it up. And a kid's menu. We go to, sometimes because we got little coupons from the dentist, we go and get, Texas Roadhouse. And the kids order off the kids' menu, and we order off the adult menu so they get theirs free. And they get steak bites, and I get steak. But they don't say, okay, your steak come from an adult cow, and their steak came from a kid's cow. You know what it came from? It came from a cow. When they cut that meat up, it's come out of the same thing. They just cut theirs in a little bit smaller pieces so that they can eat them. Don't worry, Mike. Nobody can see you back there. Can I get down a little bit lower? Hey, if you go to Europe, all their main meals are like kids' meals. So they're small. You're like, what? It's like, this is the appetizer, right? No. It's the main thing. Well, see, there's not an adult Holy Ghost and a kid's Holy Ghost. The kid's Holy Ghost is the little fun Holy Ghost that we do the little things and la-di-dee and la-di-da. And the adult Holy Ghost is when we really start getting over into these big things. There's not a kid's Holy Ghost and an adult Holy Ghost. There's just a Holy Ghost. He's going to pour out the Holy Ghost on all flesh. So if you're a kid, you should be, if you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you should be expecting the Holy Ghost to move through you. Just as much as anybody else. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is always on the move. He wants to manifest himself. Whatever gift on the inside of you, that's going to come forth. And the Holy Ghost is going to prepare you and use you. And this is training time. But one of the things I know Pastor Mitch wants to do and talk with Pastor Kathy is they want to create in our church the atmosphere where the kids can learn how to hear the Spirit of God just like we do, how to yield to the Spirit of God just like we do, how to flow in the gifts just like we do. Because it's not a kid's Holy Ghost and an adult Holy Ghost. It's just one Holy Ghost. So he says he's going to pour his Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. We should be expecting our kids and young people to be used by the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, When I was in second year, just in the summer between my first and second year of college, I mean, I was so transformed. Before, I was so shy in my first year of college that it, now this, I'm sure it's not Luke. I'm not talking about you. This is just me. If I was sitting at a table and three or four girls came and sat down beside me, I was so shy and I'd get up and leave. I was just shy. I told you, that's my testimony. May not necessarily be your testimony. I stuttered. I couldn't talk. I was shy. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I went from being the shyest person in the college to absolutely preaching on the streets. We had chapel where it was about 800 kids or 1,000 kids, and they go to chapel. Then they would walk from chapel to go to their mailboxes before they go to their next class, and like the whole group would come. There's people working on scaffolding up there, and there's like 800 people around, and I scream at the top of my lungs and start preaching to them, and people are scattering like rain's coming. Whoosh. You know how you know water hits grease and it just goes, whew. They were gone. We're preaching everywhere, boldly to everybody. What is it? It's not because I hit a certain calendar day. It's because I got the Holy Ghost. Having a desire for signs and wonders and miracles, that came because I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what? If I'd have had the Holy Ghost when I was 5, it would have happened then. Well, we want to make sure our kids do get the Holy Ghost, that they are full of God, that they are full of these things. So we got to realize that it's a part to where we're going to enter in, but our entire family is going to enter in. That God wants our entire families to be saved. Well, what if I'm saved and what if they're not serving God? Well, then you just keep them before God, you rest in God, you commit that, you keep speaking over them. And you believe that you'll be saved, you and your household, they're coming in. Surround them with faith and love, ask God to send laborers across their path. Just keep speaking, the devil says something, say, no, that's a lie. Just keep saying the word over them, stay in peace, keep praising God. And you know what? They'll come in. You can't bring them in anyway. If you could, you'd have already done it. Well, why did God choose Abraham? Because he's going to train his family up so that he could bring to pass. You see, we want to enter into it and then carry it to the next generation. And that's what we want to do as a church. And I know in talking with Pastor Mitch and Pastor Kathy, I know it's real big on their heart. I know all the parents, it's real big on our heart. It's the biggest thing we deal with, probably by way far. I mean, I'd rather have my kids, I mean, if I had to pick between my kids really growing up serving God and, Josh over here taking me down to Fogo D.D. Chow's once a week, I'd probably pick my kids raising up. Well, I'd probably pick both if I could. And see, even the things we're involved in what we do, we got to realize that God, see, just like Samuel, I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but when we received our children, when our children were coming, we dedicated them back to God for his service in the last days. What does that mean? I don't know. They're going to have to find out themselves. That's not my responsibility. I'm just supposed to raise them. I'm not ever going to tell them what to do. If they don't know, boy, how can we tell them to help them? It just make them confused. But I tell you, young people, kids, we'll end with this. You can expect God to speak to you. You can expect to hear God's voice. You can expect God to use you. I know a lot of people, a lot of ministers, when they were kids, young kids in their teenage years, at camp, in church, they've had visitations of Jesus. Jesus come to them. God will come to you. If your heart's towards God, God will come to you, and God will use you, and God will raise you up in this generation. And this generation is not going to turn out like the world says. It's not going to turn out like these school systems are trying to train our kids. Now, they can teach them English. If in my family, they'll have to. It ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be me. You know, teach them English. It ain't going to be me. They'll have to teach them all these things. If it comes down to math and sciences, they're going to have to be an outside force that's a much higher level than me doing it. But see, I'm not expecting them to teach them about the Holy Ghost, about Jesus. I'm going to do that. They're going to teach them English and math. I'm going to teach them about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to teach them. We're going to get them involved right along. We want to have our kids more and more be involved in the services, be involved in things, be able to hear and come right up alongside of us, and you'll be amazed. Children today, I just expect you in your classes, whether you're back there, back here, wherever, if you're singing, just expect the Holy Ghost to use you, expect God to anoint you, and expect the Spirit of God to flow through you and speak to you and through you. But this is going to be the greatest generation. That's why the devil's fighting it so much. That's why so much is coming to try to stop this young group of kids. because I believe they're going to be the greatest. And because we believe that, we're going to train them like that. Well, he's going to pour his Spirit upon all flesh. You know what that word all means in the Greek? It means all. Greek, Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, French, Swahili, it means all. So that all means all. So there's not an adult Holy Ghost and a kid's Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait until you get a certain calendar age before God can start using you. God will start using you now. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside. He wants to manifest himself. Hallelujah. Praise God because he's inside. Let's stand up. There's a lot of ways we can go. We want to pray for these kids, pray for our church, pray for the things of God. But we want to establish the fact that with our children, I mean from just itty-bitty first-time coming babies right on through college, I mean these young people, we can as adults, even if you don't have a child in that age group or not, or if you do, we can still pray for this group and really put our faith and belief for them because it's an important thing. It's the biggest thing we deal with. I mean, we make a humongous deal out of it. So much that you'll get real weary of hearing it all the time. But if you're a duck, you got to quack. Quack, 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 quack. It's just a big deal because we want to see the fulfillment of everything. We don't want to get to a certain place and it just drop flat from there. Somebody's got to carry it on and somebody's got to be trained. And those somebodies are right here. Praise God. Well, let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for all the young people today. All of our kids and young people. And Father, we just thank you for the Spirit of God coming upon them like never before. For God moving mightily on their behalf. For God using them in any and all nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, that they're prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And Lord, I didn't read this scripture, but just like when you came to Jeremiah, and you said, Lord, and Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm just a child. I can't speak. He said, say not I'm a child. And then he gave him a message. Here he was, operating a prophet's office as a child, and standing in a major position. And God giving him things concerning an entire nation. And he was a child, and he couldn't even speak. So, Father, we thank you for moving on our young people. We thank you that in this church, you're going to draw families and people who want their children trained in this last day's move of God, who want to bring forth in demonstration the things of the Spirit and the things of the Holy Ghost, that, Lord, we'll not just be reading about it, but we'll be experiencing it in our group, in our generation, no matter where they go on the earth and what they're involved in, whether it's a secular business or opportunity or whatever it is. Our kids, number one, are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and obeying God, and they'll bring forth the works of God wherever they're at, and they'll be in the leadership and the forefront of everything they're involved in, because, Father, the anointing's upon them, the favor's upon them, and great glory and blessing is upon them. And, Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you go along, as you see these kids from time to time, I remember Willie George says, he said all the time, that little snotty-nosed boy that you're dealing with all the time in children's church and this, you know, one day he may be a bank president and you may need to get a loan from him. So you better be really nice to him because one day he may be signing your checks. Don't look at me like that. It could happen. So, you know, remember, this is our future. This is our heritage. Let's take care of him. Praise God. Well, greet somebody and say, glad you came today.